than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Well, the bye week is over, and welcome. It's Steeler Hate Week. It's a rivalry week. There is plenty to talk about. Joining me, as always, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, man. Bye week, rested, ready to go. I've been chomping at the bit for these last 2 weeks. We want these undefeated Steelers handing on their first L. It's Steeler Hate Week, as you said, one of the best weeks in Baltimore. And we get a double dose this month, but the first one starts the 1st of November, man. It's Halloween weekend, closing out October in style, and ringing in November with a huge game looming on Sunday, man. It's going to be awesome.
I'm excited. We got a lot to talk about. It's Steeler Hate Week, and plus we've got some new signees, some trades, some extensions. What should we start with first, brother? Which one should it be? What should we go with?
Well, let's start with the hot off the presses breaking news. Minutes ago, right, and obviously recording this later this week, Purple Friday, minutes before we decided to record, we have a huge extension. Ronnie Stanley has signed a 5-year extension with the Baltimore Ravens. It is a crazy deal. Listen to the numbers. 5-year extension worth $112 million. Max total value, he gets at least $70 million in total guarantees.
Wild.
Yes. For all those, and I'm not going to call names, but I remember, for all those who were whining and complaining, why did we draft him during draft day? This is why. Got to protect Lamar's. You got to protect Lamar. So, huge. Stanley, Ronnie Stanley, I'm excited for him. Couldn't be more happy. It's well-deserving. We knew this was coming. Not to those kind of numbers, but even so, man, tickled to death to see Ronnie Stanley a Raven for the next at least 5 years. Again, one of the mainstays. I know we've had some trouble with the line with obviously Yanda leaving. So this just, again, solidifies the next in line to get a good, huge payday. And again, and really bolster the line and have that confidence going forward that we know we're going to have some mainstays. I'm pretty excited.
I'm a huge Ronnie Stanley fan. You know, after we drafted him, he's whose jersey I picked up. I was so excited to have him on this team. I'm happy to see that he's here for 5 years. Like you said, we got to protect Lamar. He's a huge part. You and I were even saying after Marshall Yanda retired, Ronnie Stanley's probably going to be the guy that leads the offensive line. He's going to be the veteran on the field, kind of leading the charge on the field as well as the locker room. And I definitely think he's a guy that can do that. What a price tag, though. Holy cow. I mean, $70 million guaranteed. I picked the wrong field to go into. Good Lord. That's amazing. But I'm happy to see him. Last game, though, I mean, he did, you know, he was getting penalized a lot, but hopefully that was just a one-off. I think it was. But I'm
maybe cost him a couple $1,000s in the
you know, instead of $70 million, it could have been $71 million. Who knows?
Yeah, the total contract, I mean, that's the max deal. I mean, the total contract is actually $98.75 million. So, I mean, you know, hey, still. But that's why I said max guarantees with all the bonuses and incentives. Not a bad payday for a Friday.
That's right. So we do also have some guys that are new here. So we had some trades happening.
Don't we?
You got to help me with this name because I'm never going to say it correct unless, you know, we're talking about him all the time.
Try it.
Man, you're really going to put me on the spot like that.
Of course I am, man. You know it.
Yannick Ngakoue.
Nope. Yannick Ngakoue.
Ngakoue. Okay.
Yes, the hometown guy comes home.
He's a Maryland guy.
Yes, he is, Terp, and he was from Bowie, Maryland. So full circle. Rundown, Clayus is Campbell teammate from Jacksonville. So we get two former Jacksonville Jaguar defensive players, which is huge. Not only helps the Ravens, you know, but it helps, you know, cohesiveness, right? You got two guys that are familiar with each other. And Yannick was linked to the Ravens on several occasions, much like the other newest Raven. And we'll talk about that in a minute, which, again, I'm excited for. But Yannick, I've always said, when he was disgruntled in Jacksonville and he wanted to, you know, wanted to trade free agent and whatnot, Baltimore was the destination that just didn't work out. I actually heard through sources out there on the interwebs that the Ravens were linked to him early. It didn't happen. It wasn't meant to be. He actually went to Minnesota, the other purple team, as a Viking. And then the Ravens, again, just worked out in pulling off another blockbuster trade and wheeling and dealing some low-end draft picks to get a all-pro, high-caliber player. Yannick Ngakoue, man, I couldn't be more excited. When that happened, it just shows you the might of the Ravens. Not only that, but if you heard, Eric DaCosta got a standing ovation for this one from the staff. So I don't think he's doing that bad. So for a guy that's filling in big shoes from Ozzie Newsome, drafting the cornerstone of the defense and the offense and the team, you know, drafting first two Hall of Famers with his first two draft picks, not too shabby, 96, building the squad, and Eric DaCosta being groomed as his successor. He had job offers for other teams, including the Green Bay Packers. He stayed in Baltimore, waited in the wings, and he's doing a master job, isn't he? So, Yannick Ngakoue, welcome to the flock. And by all means, he should be playing Sunday, if I'm correct in saying that. He's wearing right now number 91 for the team. Dude, I just can't wait. Now comes the big question. A lot of people are asking us when that happened. What happens with Judon, because we franchised him, right? Didn't give Judon a long-term extension, and then we see a money going to Ronnie. So if you're Matt Judon, you got to be thinking here, okay, what's going on? I want to get your take, but my personal take first is I think they're not – I don't know. I mean, I'm just going to put myself on the record and saying I don't think, because they're bringing Ngakoue in, Judon stays with the team. Now, who knows, right? Because remember, they brought in Marcus Peters, and this is crazy. A year later, we do another blockbuster trade. A year prior, we did a crazy trade, blockbuster for trading the draft picks for Marcus Peters, and then we signed it to extension. What a crazy pickup that was, in addition to the team. And then now, a year later, we do Yannick. At that time, everybody was like, okay, what's going on, right? Because Marlon was next in line to get paid and all that. And look what happened. We not only signed Marcus Peters to an extension, but Marlon got his money this year, right? And he's proved that well. So I think a Judon trade or something along the lines of that. I mean, the trade deadline's days away. Who knows what's going to happen? But I've always said we could use Judon as trade bait to get a receiver because we have Yannick. I don't see a world where the Ravens keep both guys. Again, could be wrong, but I don't think Judon's on the team next year just because Yannick's here. I don't know. That's what I think.
I mean, none of us have a crystal ball, but I don't see Judon staying here as well. I think he's going to have a great time in New York with the Jets next year. He's a great player, and he's going to make a ton of money. I just don't think the Ravens can afford him because they have so much talent they have to sign and other places, you know, that they are going to be focused on. So I think he can make a buttload of money somewhere else, and he's going to do that, unfortunately. I like Judon a lot, but... you know, win that Super Bowl with the Ravens this year. Focus on that and then worry about where you're going to be next year in the offseason. But I do want to ask you, Yannick, this is a great signing, I think. I think it's fantastic to have him come in. He knows Calais Campbell, so the two of them have worked together in the past. They know what's going on there. But you remember our biggest gripe in that Kansas City Chiefs game was, what was Marlon Humphrey doing going after the quarterback? Why was he rushing? I think they addressed that issue right here. Yannick coming onto this team means that Marlon Humphrey doesn't have to be the guy going after the quarterback. I think that they saw what was wrong in that Kansas City Chiefs game, and they've addressed it. And that's what you want from your head coach and your front office, is to see that there are issues, not just ignore them, but try to fix them and try to win now. And that's what this signing really means.
this signing really addressed. Everything they've done addresses the problems, right? And obviously they face Derrick Henry later, I would say this month. I mean, we're 2 days away from November, so I keep saying this month. But later in November, they face Derrick Henry again. So remember, like last year, right? They didn't want the running backs, especially Derrick Henry, to run all over the Ravens. So what they do, they go out and get Calais Campbell, Derek Wolfe, and solidify the defensive line. They just go out and get these players addressing the pass rush. We can't get the quarterback. We got to put pressure on them. So, you know, signing a player, yeah, Yannick, goes a long way for that and then some. Couldn't be more excited just to see how the defensive front really looks at this point, man. It's going to be nasty. I mean, this defense was already crazy now, and it's just going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what happens on Sunday. But before we get to Sunday, we also have to bring up the fact that there's a new practice squad player on this team, Dez Bryant.
Finally, I got my Dez. I got my Dez. I was waiting to pop off on this one. You knew it too. Finally got my Dez. You know me. I've been huge on this for how long? How many times I've been disappointed when it didn't happen?
I know. It's been a while. He has not been in the league since, what, 2017? So it's been
a while.
Yes,
he hasn't played since 2017, yes. But he's still young, though. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, he's still got plenty of talent. And, you know, they brought him in on a workout in August. And they said, look, there's some things you got to work on. You got to work on conditioning. You got to work on this. You got to work on that. And he didn't take that as a slap in the face. He went, okay, I'm going to work on it. And they bring him in again, and now he's on the practice squad for the Ravens. And this is going to be great for a lot of the wide receivers that we have right now, a lot of veteran leadership now on the practice squad, and it'll be great for the defense to kind of go up against him. He's been around the league a little bit. He knows some of these other players. So there's a chance we see him on the field. I mean, potentially, but he's kind of like an RG3 signing. You know, you're kind of signing him, yes, for his knowledge.
Well, that too. I think the Ravens still, I think they're hesitant a little bit on it. They're kind of like, because, I mean, you see the baby steps, right? Yeah, I mean, the knowledge is there. I think not only that, but I definitely think they brought him in to definitely bolster the receiving core. Believe it or not, man, receivers on the Ravens are dead last in yardage and receptions.
Yeah.
So we're a 5-1 football team, but again, like we said, we have issues. We know we have issues. Dez helps that. Most famous practice squad player ever. And it wouldn't happen this year. It's only allowable because of COVID rules, remember? Because right. Because they expanded rosters and the special rules for that because of the designations for the players. On a normal football year, it wouldn't happen. They would actually have to sign them to the roster and make moves and all that. So it helps to know that we can do that. And also think the Ravens, again, no one's really been on the record as far as the Ravens are concerned and said, this is what we looked at, this is what we told Dez. But you can kind of read between the lines, right? You know, Dez turned us down because he wanted a certain situation for himself, just like anybody, right? You know, you get a job offer, you got a job. If it's not right for you at the time, you could turn it down and, you know, work on your craft, work on you. At the time, he kind of wanted to, you know, go his own path on that, wanted a one-year prove-it deal. He didn't want a multi-year deal, which is crazy. I don't know why, but you have to talk to Dez himself. And then, of course, a couple years later, we bring him in for a workout. We're thinking, oh, we're going to sign Dez finally, right? Now I was licking my chops, and then nope. He brought him in for a workout. Nothing. Left Baltimore without a deal. But it could happen at a later point. It was speculated. Who knows? And then, of course, trade deadline comes. You know, oh, Ravens could be in the mix, right, for AB and all that. And a Dez name came up. And they finally land on the practice squad. And I think it's like I reiterated, it's baby steps. I heard some speculation from some of the media members of the Ravens out there. Who probably said the Ravens probably liked what they saw at the workout, but they said work on XYZ, right?
Right.
Dez went to go and work on XYZ, and then they brought him back again for a workout and physical. He passed that. Okay, we're going to sign him to the squad. And I think the practice squad, they signed him on because, again, being that he's just ushered in and it's so close to the big matchup that's looming. I mean, it's so disappointing because I like to see him play in this one. Again, he's on the team. I think he'll get caught up and take it a step further. Everybody was asking me, well, how he's going to fit in. Here's what I think. I think this is Boykin's last shot. I think Dez is again. Dez is not a long term solution, right? Short term, we get that. But I feel like of the production. I mean, again, we know the receivers are dead last and all that, and we know what Marquise Brown can do. We know what Mark Andrews can do, right? We've heard a player say that if it's not 15 or 89, who's Lamar really throwing to? I know Snead's got some looks there here and there, but you know, Snead's not balling it out, none of them are. And I feel like the emergence of Duvernay, you see the ascension, and then you see the decline of Boykin. Boykin hasn't lived up to that, and I feel like being so quick early, this is Dez's time to, and I think Dez's time to rise to the occasion. And I think the receiving core could look like a Brown, a Snead, a Duvernay, and a Dez. That'll be your four. I think Boykin will be in the mix as that fifth. Is like maybe if they go five out, five wide, or maybe put him on special teams. I see a Dez being called up maybe by the after the Steeler game. I don't think he gets called up this one to the active roster. I could be wrong, but I don't see it happening because he's got to get reacclimated. I mean, Greg Roman said, you know, he's acclimating very well. I saw some footage on the practice, heard he had a decent practice. Some of the notes from Jameson Hesley, who covers the Ravens for ESPN, said Bryant caught, and this was yesterday being Thursday. Now, Bryant caught off, he caught passes from all four QBs on the squad, including the practice squad. He caught two deep throws from RG3, and he continued to wear number 11 because, and there's a lot of speculation, well, why is he not wearing 88 fans? Just want to say relax. It's going to be okay. He's going to support 88 for the Ravens. If you look at the photos, he's wearing 11 to spy as Chase Claypool in the scout team for the for the Ravens scheme. So if you look at his helmet stickers, there's an 8 on it. He's going to be wearing 88, so and the number is available. So for all those Dennis Pitta jerseys, turn them inside out or change the name. It's Bryant now, not Kobe, but Dez. So excited to see that throwing up the X here in Baltimore. Super excited for the guy. Again, like he tweeted out, man, he was emotional when he got the chance. And that's all he wanted, man. He worked so hard, and you see the determination, right? A lot of people are like, oh, he's a devious AK. Well, I don't see that because I see a guy who still has the hunger to play. I see a guy who took the advice of whoever gave it to him, whether it was Ravens, whether it was just trainers, and said, do this, and you're going to get there. Keep working at it. He was putting out videos. He was working out. He's worked out with the Ravens on several occasions, and he finally got his crack. So excited to see him come back. And I really hope he's catching passes for Lamar very, very soon, and I can't wait to see it, man. I'm excited. He's one of my favorite players. He's always been, and as you recall, the Cowboys were a pick ahead of us in that draft, respectively, and the Ravens were highly linked to him at that point and didn't happen. So it comes full circle that we finally landed Dez, and this fits the mantra of the Ravens, right? Hire a wide receiver on the back end of their career, and Dez is actually younger than those receivers, right? Younger than the Steve Smith when we signed him, younger than the Mason, younger than a Bolden, and we've seen how that contributed. So, and that's intriguing too. The other part of Dez is, will he be here long term after this year? Who knows? Let's get through this year, and we'll see where he fits in the Ravens' plans. But I wouldn't think that they would just to speculate, man. I don't think they would bring in a Dez just for a half a season and let him go. It just doesn't make sense. So, if you're going to give him a shot, maybe bring him in for this year, and then maybe next year give him a 1 or 2 year deal and have him be a Raven for maybe closing out his career. I don't know, like Steve Smith or somebody. So I just don't see it being bringing in a guy with his name, his caliber, and then just going, okay, your services are done. Like, I don't know. I just don't see it, but could be wrong, but we'll get there next year.
Yeah. Only time will tell. And you know, maybe we will see Dez Bryant on the field for a Sunday game coming up. Who knows? Well, you know, there's plenty of games, plenty of football left in this league, so we'll see. But speaking of practice this week, things are a little concerning right now because it is Steeler week and there are some players that are missing. Good news is Derek Wolfe was back on the field. He did miss last week's game due to a concussion, but he was a full participant this week. However, there are a couple players that we have not seen on the practice field since the bye week, and that's Mark Ingram and Jimmy Smith, both ankle injuries. Jimmy Smith's actual Achilles heel is his Achilles heel. That's the thing. That's why they call it that. But Jimmy Smith has had issues with his Achilles in the past. It seems like they are flaring up again. It may be precaution, so he's not hurting it even more by not having him practice. But there's a lot of question marks going into this Sunday game of who's going to be on the field and who isn't.
Absolutely, man. I mean, the concern was earlier in the week, too, Marlon Humphrey, right? He came down with an illness, wasn't COVID, right. Just was the cold, which is great. I'm happy that we can differentiate between the two, right? So, yeah. Hey, you know, he's not sick. He was actually a full participant in practice. So the injury report could be a little lengthy, but I don't see anybody, at least on the list. And I'm looking at, trying to find the updated injury list to see if anybody's going to be in jeopardy for missing Sunday. But I think we should be fine. I'm scrolling.
Yeah, there were a couple other names like Brandon Williams. He was back because he missed the last game because he was potential of being in contact with someone with COVID, but he's been a full participant this week.
It was not injury related. Yeah. So, yeah, that, I mean, as I said, I don't think he's in danger of missing. I mean, yeah, you're right.
He did miss one practice, but that's just because he's a veteran and he's allowed to do that on certain days. Him and Calais Campbell both just weren't full participants the entire week because they're veterans and they're allowed to do that.
Absolutely. You're right. I don't see it, again, with the injury list running it down, like you said, Ingram, Jimmy Smith, Williams, Anthony Levine, Humphrey, Tyre Phillips, and Derek Wolf. I think they all play to some capacity. The one I'm really more worried about is Mark Ingram. He's had a slow start to this year, hasn't looked really good and crisp running the football, hasn't really gotten going. He looks a little slow, to be honest with you. So, for me, when the circle's right at the top of the list, Mark Ingram with the ankle injury, there remains to be seen on Sunday how he's used and how the Steelers attack that with the running scheme, and see if Dobbins gets a little bit more carries and see if they force the issue with Lamar running it. I really like to see the running game in the focal point of that. So Mark Ingram is my player to watch on that injury list, if any.
Yeah, and if you remember during our draft show when J.K. Dobbins was drafted, we talked about this. This is why you drafted J.K. Dobbins when they did, because Mark Ingram, he got hurt in the postseason. He wasn't 100%. We knew that. And we were wondering, you know, since the guy is a little bit older, do you get somebody that's younger in case he were to get hurt again? That's always going to be an issue. And that's what Dobbins is here for. So hopefully the little bit of experience Dobbins has gotten so far this season is going to be paying off, because it looks like he's going to get a lot more carries due to this injury.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree with you more on that. I really think it bodes well for the Ravens in that regard when they had the plan to draft him. The Knicks, I've always said that Thunder and Lightning, right? The Kamara to his, him being Ingram like he did in New Orleans. So, yeah, I definitely am excited to see the scheme give Dobbins ball the ball more. You know, diving right into the game plan of offense, I really want to see the running game going. But you know what's crazy, though? Heading into this matchup, being all the good problems we talked about the last 4 weeks, 5-1 football team with concerns, talking about the running game, the Ravens still lead the NFL in rush yards, 164 per game. Are we really that concerned? I think it's because if you really watch it, some of the games, they just don't get it going. But it's a combination. It's 164 average a game, but it's not only Lamar. It's not only Dobbins and Ingram, but it's Gus and Lamar. It's everybody getting involved. You know, it's a four-headed rushing attack right now. And that's what makes it dangerous. Is anybody can run at any point. We've seen Lamar's two great touchdowns against the Eagles and the Washington team, right? You know, just the fake the handoff and then just shoot right through the line and he's gone. So I'm waiting to see a breakout game from Dobbins and Ingram both. Ingram was really dominant last year, not only in the running game, but in the passing game, he got really heavily involved. One of the ones that stood out was he was in the passing game in the Houston Texans game last year in 2019. So, and Dobbins, I don't know what Greg Erman's up to, but he better have been in the lab cooking up some stuff, because one of the latest games, Dobbins had a crazy highlight reel run and never heard from him again. So got to feed it. We got to run this up the pass. I think they're pressing the issue more. They're trying to get Lamar to be more pass heavy in this offense. No, stick with what you do best. Balance it out and let your guys ball out. I don't like this. Everything looks forced, but they're winning games. One's looming right in front of them who's going to be a huge test, and we're going to really see, you know, problems or not what the Ravens are made of come Sunday afternoon, because Steelers come in undefeated, man. They took it to the Titans, right? In breaking down the matchup, you know, that's why I kind of want to save some nuggets for this game matchup, because again, you know how fans were, and yourself, myself included, how frustrated were you when they lost the lead to the Eagles, right?
Right.
Very frustrating.
Yeah.
Like I said before, look at your opponent and look what they did also. And I've said this, I've said it once, and I'll definitely reiterate it for this preview of the matchup. The same Steelers team who's undefeated that everybody thinks the world beaters lost the same exact lead to the same Eagles team. And they were also up 2 points. The only difference is the Steelers won by 9 because they had a late touchdown by Chase Claypool to really solidify the game with like 2 minutes left, right? You know, they were up big, 17 points, and Eagles came back by, and were down 2. Same thing with the Ravens. Just this past weekend, undefeated versus undefeated, the mighty Tennessee Titans. Oh, Derrick Henry, ooh, scary, right? Now, Steelers are blowing them out. It was 24-7. Actually, if I remember, it was 27-7. It was a 20-point lead. Evaporated, gone. Steelers didn't score the rest of the game. The Titans did. They missed a field goal at the end, the forced overtime. So really, you know, you could say you're concerned with the Ravens, but I would be equally concerned with the Steelers. That's too you know, everybody belly aching. Oh, the Ravens should have. Yeah, the Ravens should have put up 50 points using the Eagles, but they didn't. They still put 30. They're averaging 30 points a game, and but so could the Steelers. Steelers were winning 27-7 against the Titans, and they let up. And Titans came back, to their credit. Steelers were beating the crazy. They were beating them, the Eagles, like crazy, and then they let them come back, and then they had to pull away a little bit at the end. Again, some just nuggets for there. They're throwing them out there. Do with them as you wish. You know, reserve judgment for the other team as well, because it ain't just the Ravens. Other teams are losing leads too, including the undefeated Steelers. So it's not all it's cracked up to be. And they're not world beaters. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger hasn't been really blowing up the scoreboard the last two games. You know, and you can even look at his fantasy football numbers. They really tell the story. Hasn't killed it. So it takes a collaborative effort. I mean, last game it was more like the defense and shutting down. So, but again, another great chapter in the storied rivalry. A lot of the media, including NFL Network, again, one of the best, if not the best, rivalry in the game. You want to know some crazy numbers?
Let's hear them.
18 of the last 24 Ravens-Steelers games have been decided by one score. 14 of them have been decided by 3 points or less. 3 points or less. Wow. Talk about close.
Yeah.
And the Ravens and Ravens-Steelers rivalry leads the NFL with most games decided by that 3 points or fewer mark since 2008, the Harbaugh era. The Ravens and Steelers have 14 games win that billing, and there's 5 other matchups, not rivalries, there's some rivalries in there, but matchups tied with 9. That's Washington-Dallas, LA-San Francisco divisional matchup there, you know, Dallas Giants, Chargers, Chiefs, Saints, Panthers, all tied with 9 games there. So we know it's going to be close. There's been a few blowouts here or there side. It's happened. Lamar, first time again. When people say this, we get why, because it's you know, it's offense versus offense. Like when they say Brady versus Manning or Manning versus Manning when the Manning brothers played. Like Lamar said the other day when it was Mahomes versus Lamar – or Mahomes versus Lamar, and Lamar goes very – what's the terms I'm searching for? I'm a loss for words, brother. But
like nonchalant?
Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of like, I don't play against Mahomes. I'll play against their defense. Like, duh, we knew that. So this is Lamar's first game versus Ben Roethlisberger. But Lamar is undefeated against the Steelers. You know, in his career, he's beaten them 3 times. This is his 4th time playing the Steelers. First time playing Ben Roethlisberger, if my memory serves correctly. Remains to be seen what happens. They've had a bye week to prepare. They know the Steelers in and out. They've added some weapons for this game and for the season, obviously, for the run. It's huge. I mean, Steelers win. They're 2 games up, probably 2.5 games up because they got the win on us already. That means that would put the Ravens at 5-2, Steelers at 7-0. Ravens could win this game, man, the division, that much closer, that much more special on Thanksgiving night. Ravens win, they're both 6-1, with the Ravens getting a slight edge there in first place.
Yeah.
Handing them their first loss to the only undefeated team left in the NFL. So, dude, it's all right there. I mean, we understand the dangerous receiving core they have. They have the edge there. We get it. You know, right now, the reigning MVP versus two-time Super Bowl champion. We know Big Ben's resurgence coming after the injury last year. They're a dangerous team, man. We know what they are. I'm actually – and I get why they're potentially hanging. The Ravens are favored by, what, 5.5 points? I mean, that was shocking, especially with the stat I just read. The bulk of the Ravens rivalry games with this team have been decided by 3 points or fewer, and you're going to put a near touchdown spread on it. That's a little crazy, but I love it, right? You know, the Ravens are favored in this game, so it just shows you where the pundits are at. Yeah, exactly. We'll take it. Shows you where we're at. But some tidbits to consider. Speaking of defense, the Ravens and Steelers defense coming into this game, allowing two of the top five fewest points allowed through 7 weeks in the NFL. Ravens are top of the list, even though they had the bye week last week. 104 points they've given up. Steelers are fourth on the list, 118. So it's going to be defense. We know it's going to be low scoring. It's going to be – I don't think this is going to be one of those 27-30 shootouts. This is going to be one of those in the teens or maybe even the first to 20 wins the game. This is going to be one of those like a touchdown or two here or there, a couple field goals, defensive plays, sacks, big hits, titanic hits, penalties, jawing, arguing. It's all going to be – dude, it's a bloodbath. It's a war. It's Ravens-Steelers. I really can't wait, man. And this is awesome. And as an added benefit, man, how about it? Like we said in Philly, the Ravens' first taste with fans, we finally got it at home.
That's right.
The Ravens have opened the floodgates to 4,000 fans. Oh, boy. And I will say this. Two famous – I don't want to say famous. I'm not famous. But two fans – Captain Defense got a ticket, and I did not win the ticket lottery. Entered it, didn't win. But yours truly has been offered a ticket by someone who did win. I will be present for the Ravens-Steelers game come this Sunday. Can't wait, my first NFL game. Finally, it's Ravens-Steelers. Oh, boy. Finally, get to go. I'm so excited.
I'm excited to hear your experience there as a fan during this COVID era because, I mean, we're living in uncharted territory right now. This is very odd, but at least there's going to be somebody in the stands for this game. I mean, this is Ravens-Steelers. You know, the fans need to be there for this type of game, and this is a big deal. And, like, I didn't think about it until after our show last week, but I tweeted you and said, look, this – season so far, because we were talking about, you know, why fans are so upset, we're 5-1, and why they're upset about it. I said, this is kind of like the beginning of Rocky III. You know, Rocky was the world champ, and then he had a bunch of fights, and there's that great scene between Rocky and Mickey goes, look, those guys were good fighters, but they weren't killers. You know, Clubber Lang's coming in, and he'll kill you, and that's what this is. This is a real test here. This is an undefeated Steelers team. It is a rival that is famous across the league. Everybody loves this rivalry. Doesn't matter who you root for across the country or across the world. You know Ravens Steelers is going to be a game to watch. And this is a huge test. Absolutely, this is a huge test because the teams that the Ravens have faced so far, yeah, they weren't killers. This team is a killer. That's why they're undefeated right now. So if the Ravens can come in with their new weapons, can take down the Steelers, that will solidify, I think, in a lot of fans' eyes that this team is a real contender and that they can hang with the best of them because they're going up against one of the best this Sunday. And having fans there is going to be huge. This is going to be, think about it, Patrick Queen, J.K. Dobbins. A lot of these rookies have never had a home game before with fans. They've never felt that electricity. If Ravens Steelers doesn't get your blood pumping, look, I got goosebumps right now talking about
this. I got chills too, just talking about that because it's going to be emotional.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even be able to pass me a pie. I probably shed a tear just because it's like of the year we've had, right? I didn't think we were going to be there, and I finally get blessed, and I'm even going to tell the guy who sold me the ticket, dude, like, I owe you, man, because and it's crazy. I only know two people personally who won the lottery, so it's that hard. Yeah. You know, everybody was talking, asking me Monday, did you win? Did you win? I'm like, no, and I requested two tickets. So I'll be in the end zone. Look out for me. I'll be in the end zone. And you can't miss us because I'll give you some tidbits. It's the day after Halloween. Everybody's like, oh, you're going to dress up? Yes, Baltimore Batman's going to make the appearance. Got to go. But not only that, a little bit quick story here. One of my friends for Ravens Steelers matchup, I haven't talked to him in a while, so I have to re-familiar myself with the storyline on it, but he wears a beer costume to every Ravens Steeler game, and I don't know why. But because it's after Halloween, so, and being that there's only 4,000 fans, we're going to be right behind the end zone, and we're going to be in end zone kind of where the tunnels are, right? Because I sit up in 517. We're going to be in 112 near the scoreboard up there. So I figure with 4,000 fans and us two guys dressed in a costume, they're definitely going to probably have a lens on us. So NFL CBS, look out. You might see a Batman and a beer guy. So look out. It's going to be crazy. But not only that, but like you said, like the unprecedented times when, like, no tailgating. So no tailgating, 4,000 fans. It's going to be quite interesting, but it's still emotional. You know, our plan is actually to go down early still, not wake up at the crack of dawn like we usually do, but I probably won't be able to sleep anyway. Plus, there's a big boxing fight, Baltimore's own Gervonta Davis fight Saturday night. You know, look out for that on Showtime pay-per-view. Didn't get paid for the plug, by the way. But it's going to be a crazy weekend. You know, you got a heavyweight fight Saturday night, or and then you got one on Sunday. So it's going to be a crazy weekend for some good wholesome matchups. Not only that, but our plan is to get down to Baltimore. We're thinking Fed Hill, Fells Point, somewhere, maybe go to brunch, breakfast, do something, find a place that's open a little early, probably get something to eat there, and then head down for, you know, the game. So tailgating, again, it's going to be our own hybrid tailgating, leave a little bit later in the morning, but it's still, we get to dress up, go down, we get to go down there, we have a ticket, we're entering the friendly confines of M&T Bank Stadium in these times. Still, couldn't be more excited. I mean, not only that, but I'm excited not only the fans get to go, but like you said, for the players, you get to experience it. As I know, I think they still do player entrances at some capacity. So just to be in the stadium, get to cheer the team on. I've heard from other stadiums that have had fans of that capacity, a few thousand fans. It still gets a little loud. Obviously, it's better than nothing. I don't know if they still pump and crowd noise. I think they do.
Yeah.
To some capacity. So it's going to be a true good home field advantage for the Ravens right now, because it's the first Ravens Steeler building, and the Steelers have already played in front of fans. They've had fans at their stadium too. So, so it's going to be awesome to at least get to stand up and yell on third down, get crazy, make some noise for our team. And finally I get to be hoarse on a Monday. So I'm really excited, really excited.
So, yeah, that should be absolutely fantastic. I'm excited to see fans back in. And who knows? I mean, with the world we live in right now, this could be the only game that Raven fans get to enjoy. I don't want that to happen. But, you know, with numbers trending up, they could say, all right, that was enough. We got to shut everything down again. So,
yeah, I mean, you got to take it. You got to take it with Sarah. And that's why I couldn't pass the ticket up, because you don't know what might happen the rest of the year. If obviously we hope it goes the right way, right?
Absolutely.
We want to get back to some sort of normalcy. We want to get back to doing what we want to do and entertainment-wise, but you don't know. You're right. Like, I want to take this opportunity to go. I don't want to pass it up, because not only that's Ravens Steelers, but it's like, what if we don't get an opportunity this year? We have to wait till a home opener next year, and we get one and done. So, and if it's a one and done, it's going to be a doozy. Going through some numbers here in closing out the discussion, before we even go the way we want to see it to go, speaking of heavyweight fights, you ready?
Let's do
Talking about trading punches. Head-to-head since 1999, throwing it back to the late 90s, Ravens and Steelers are tied with 23 wins apiece, brother.
Wow.
Points per game. Ravens got the edge, 20.3 to Steelers, 19.5. So like I told you before, and I didn't look at it until just now, I told you, first of 20 wins, right?
That's right.
Because it's going to be that 20 – it's going to be a lot of that 20 to 17, 23, 16 win. It's going to be low 20s, late teens kind of feel. Being by the way of the Ravens, bye week, signings, home field advantage finally to some capacity. No, I will not pick against the Ravens in this one. I think the Ravens get the 24th win in the series since 1999 and break the tie. And tie – the Steelers at the top of the AFC North and take the slight lead heading into early November. Ravens take this one 24-20, I'm going to say. 24-20.
I like that.
It's going to be awesome. And then Ngakoue gets his immediate first sack on Ben Roethlisberger right away.
That's what I want to see. Absolutely. And, you know, this is going to be a big one. I think the Ravens can pull this off. I think they're coming off of a bye week. They're well rested. They know that this is a huge rivalry. We have fans in the stands. All signs point to the Ravens having the advantage here. And I think it could be something like maybe 17-14 Ravens, something low, like you said. It's going to be one of those games, you know, fought in the trenches type of games. It's going to be back and forth. This is going to be a fun one. Like I said, I was missing the drama earlier this year. This should be a game filled with ups and downs and plenty of drama, so I'm excited to see it. We need to have – here's my three key players. J.K. Dobbins has to have a great game. Matthew Skura has to have a great game. Like we said, he's the center now. He's taking over that spot, and he's coming off knee surgery in the offseason. We have to see Matt Skura have an A++ game on that offensive line. And then a guy like Deshaun Elliott, we need to see a great game from him as well.
Yes.
That punch, you know, to cause a lot of turnovers. That's what's really going to be solidify the win is mistakes. And if he can be out there and he can punch a ball out and the Ravens can get the ball back and capitalize and get some points on the board, that's how they win the game.
Absolutely. That's exactly how they win the game, man. They really got to contain. What I'm looking forward to is this matchup, the secondary versus their receiving core. We know we got an all-pro secondary, you know, Marcus Peters, Jimmy Smith, Marlon Humphrey. They got Juju. The emergence of Deontay Johnson. Chase Claypool had a crazy touchdown game and went off against the Eagles. So we know what they're capable of. You know, containing James Conner, again, he's still a dangerous player. I don't want to write him off and say I'm not too concerned with the running game. It's all dangerous. Big Ben scrambling, making those stupid Big Ben plays, as we know, right? Oh, he even though he slows molasses and doesn't run like Lamar, how many times have we seen him kill the Ravens with getting out of pocket, running to his right, and then throwing it 50 yards down the field, and they get a large gain? You got to stop the big plays, and that's what killed the Ravens against the Eagles, right, for the bye week. The Ravens were up big, let the big run by Miles Sanders, and then let the big catch. They can't let that happen. They have to eliminate the big plays by Pittsburgh. That's how I think they're going to contain this as well and keep the damage to a minimum. Keep the ground game suppressed and make them beat you. Make them beat you by the air. I just don't want it to see where both get going. Connor gets going on the ground. They set up the play action pass, and then they're dangerous twofold. That's going to be a long day at the office against this Ravens for the Ravens against the Steelers. So it's exactly the way I see it.
All right, Josh, have we covered everything for this Ravens-Steelers rivalry episode of The Call?
Just about, my friend. I got two more things for you. You ready?
All right, let's do it.
Who is your most hated Steelers player/coach, if any?
Oh, Hines Ward.
Yep. Bingo.
That shouldn't even be a question.
No, Hines Ward. Hines Ward tops my list. That smile, that smirk, the dirtiness. Second on my list was Joey Porter. Hated that guy too, but I hate them all. I mean, you respect them too, right? Like John from Jimmy's Famous Seafood asked, how can you hate Troy? I'm like, you hate them all. They're Steelers. But I still, even though I've always hated Ben Roethlisberger, still do, the moment of respect for him came when Haloodin had broke his nose and he came back in the game and played. I was at that game and I shrugged my shoulders. I'm like, the dude's amazing. Like, the freaking Ravens player broke his nose. And he's playing in the game. I thought he was done. I'm like, oh, Big Ben's out. We're all excited. Like, we don't want a player to get hurt. But, again, when they're out of the game, it bodes well for us. We get – that's the scheme. That's why we cheer a little bit. I mean, don't cheer that they're hurt. We just cheer that they can't play. that's the point. But when he came in, I kind of was just like, really? Like, what do you got to do to this guy? You basically beat him in the face, and he's still playing football. So,
right.
To me, again, Troy – I told John from Jimmy's. I said – Troy never really got on my nerves. He wasn't that dirty player. It just, again, they're playing for the Steelers. You hate them. This is what you do. But Hines Ward's the top of my list. And second question in this Steelers week, what is your favorite Ravens-Steelers memory? And I'll also pose the additional question. What is your favorite and what is the worst? Because I know what you're going to say about the worst, and it's one of mine too, or probably mine, but go ahead.
I want to say
– how do you pick, though? There's so many moments.
That pass from Joe Flacco to Torrey Smith in Pittsburgh, I think it was a Sunday night game where they missed And then Torrey Smith immediately asked for the ball back. They did the same play again. And Torrey Smith caught the ball, won the game. I remember Joe Flacco, I think it was, might have been Marshall Yanda, picked him up over his head. And Joe's a pretty tall guy anyway, so he was
celebrating. And that was a 96-yard drive at that. So it wasn't nothing to sneeze at, man.
And then
it was crazy.
I think the game that you're talking about where Ben's nose got broken, I'm almost positive I was there as well.
It was a 4:30 game, that one, if I recall. And they were wearing black pants, purple jerseys. I think that was the Polamalu game that Joe Flacco went to sneak it and Polamalu jumped the line. I think it was the same game. So many memories that blur, but I think it's the same game.
But it came down it came down to like the last minute.
Yeah, it was
or
like
so.
A 4-point win. It was like a very low scoring game that game.
But at the very tail end, it looked like Joe was going to be able to go down the field, and I think he maybe threw an interception or he got sacked on fourth. And ended the game. And I just remember being there and being so bummed out. That's the one I remember because that was when I used to take the Metro to get to the games. So you had to drive all the way back up to where my car was parked on the Metro, all bummed out with all the other sardines that were on the Metro.
My favorite Ravens Steelers memory, there's so many of them, right? I mean, that drive was amazing. I'm going to have to say because I was present, it was so sweet. Ravens Steelers 2014 wild card game 30-16. It was Troy Polamalu's last game as a Steeler.
Yeah.
It was our first ever win in Pittsburgh in the playoffs. I was at that game. It was my first game in Pittsburgh. Came away with the win. That was special to me. That was one of my favorite moments in the rivalry. My least favorite moment in the rivalry, there's two of them. And they both tie because I think my rivalry hit a Peaver Fitch during the 20. I think it was 2010.
A Peaver Fitch. What's a Peaver Fitch?
Fever pitch. Oh my God. I got a fever. More cowbell. Cowbell rang me a little bit too next to the ear, man. Fever pitch. I think it was the 2010. It was either 2009, 2010, right? Some of these games just run together. I have to look it up. The year's wrong. I'm sorry, but I know the game. It was the AFC divisional game in Pittsburgh. It was when the Ravens were up 21-7 at halftime and lost the lead. And it was that Mike Wallace touchdown, I think. It was a Mike Wallace catch or Antonio Brown catch. It was like that solidified the game, and we let him slip away. We had a 2-touchdown lead at halftime and lost. That's when that's when my anger to that team like reached like an all-time high at that point. And I was like, not that I never hated a team before. I was like, that was it. I was like, this team. And I was just – I remember that game. I was so angry because we had them. But my worst memory was me and you were together, Jimmy Seafood, Christmas night.
Oh.
Antonio Brown stretching over the end zone.
That sucked. Yeah.
Yes. Because it was like the highs and lows. Juszczyk dives over the end zone. We take the lead. The place is going crazy. It's Christmas night. We're all ruckus, and then they just ruin Christmas. Come on. So Antonio Brown ruined Christmas. That's my favorite. That's my worst moment because he was the Grinch. He ruined Christmas for everybody.
Yeah.
Not a Steeler fan. So, yeah. There you go. And with that – we bring Steeler Hate Week edition number 1, 2020, to a close. Quoth the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is check us out over on Twitter. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Let us know what's your favorite Steeler rivalry memory or what's your least favorite as well. I'm sure they're different than ours. So tweet to us or let us know on Facebook. But, Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at Italian GQ 52.
Like I said, you can go over to Facebook, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we're always sharing anything related to the Ravens or football that we find interesting. We share with you guys as well. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcasts, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I hate the Steelers. You should listen to the call. Let them know everywhere online. All right, Josh, you got us going. Take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so very much. I love breaking this matchup down. It's going to be another one for the ages. We ran it down on the call, the tail of the tape. We know what these heavyweight fighting teams bring to the table. It's never a dull moment. There's always something on the line with this team, always something. I just can't wait. I just really can't wait to break this all down after the fact and just really dive into this game. I can't wait to immerse myself being there as a fan. Finally, like I reiterated on the show, one of the blessed ones. I don't consider myself lucky by any stretch of the means. I was offered a ticket, didn't win the lottery. Cannot wait to be there, and it's going to be amazing. This game is going to be one you want to remember. 2020 Ravens Steelers Sunday. AFC North balance is in the line, everybody. 5-1 versus 6-0. Can we hand them first L? I love to give them the taste of defeat on the 1st of November, and then they're going to want revenge on that turkey night, right, at their place. And it's going to be special. We get two Ravens Steelers matchups served up this month. First one starts Sunday. Ravens in front of fans at M&T Bank Stadium. Are you ready to rumble? Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.